Can we start? Thank you so much. My name is Katora Harley. I am the Vice Chair for the Board of Directors. Welcome to Metro on July 28th, a hot July 28th, 2016. We're going to go ahead and get started since we have a lot of things to accomplish today. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. If everyone has had the chance to review, if there are any objections, I'd like to move adoption of the agenda as presented. Can I get a second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those who are in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Can you turn on your mic?
Yeah, I don't know if it's appropriate. I'd like to have one item removed from the agenda. Is this the appropriate time to have it removed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Chair Lady, I'd like to, notwithstanding what our acting board secretary told us to do previously, is to remove the Congress Heights agenda item that Mr. Costa will be talking about later on in the meeting. So moved.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Harley, you just need to get approval on the agenda as amended.
Okay. Can we have approval on the amended agenda?
So moved.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. The modified agenda. Now let's turn the floor over to
Madam Chairman, I would move that the board certify to the best of each member's knowledge and with no individual member dissenting that the board executive sessions, and I will move these en bloc, May 12th, June 9th, and July 14th, only such matters as were authorized for discussion in executive session under board bylaws, Article 10, and only those matters identified in the notice by which the executive session was convened, were heard, discussed, or considered by the board. So moved.
Second. Aye.
You skipped over the minutes. Those are the certifications. You need to do the minutes now.
Role is to help Metro successfully and commitment to Metro. The Metro Board is grateful for your decades of outstanding, exemplary, and steadfast service to our customers and to your fellow employees. Your dedication to Metro and the region is commendable. I would now ask you join me, along with the General Manager, in the center of the room for a presentation and a photograph. I would now like to say a few words about Mr. Ware, who I will now ask to stand. Mr. Ware was hired in 1976 as a bus operator out of Metro's Western Division in Friendship Heights, serving in that role for 20 years until being promoted to depot clerk at the Western Division in 1996. His role is to assign extra board operators as well as to review operators' daily reports and assist in completing accident, lost and found, and other reports. Mr. Ware is a vital support to our bus operators, helping them provide the best service possible to our customers. Mr. Ware, thank you for your dedication and commitment to Metro. The Metro Board is grateful for your decades of outstanding, exemplary, and steadfast service to our customers and to your fellow employees. Your dedication to Metro and the region is commendable. I would now ask that you join me, along with the General Manager, in the center of the room for a presentation and a photograph. Okay. We will now have an employee spotlight by Mr. Wiedefeld. Mr. Wiedefeld?
Thank you. Today I'm pleased to recognize Station Manager Laverne Knowles for her outstanding service. Ms. Knowles joined the Metro in 1998 as a bus operator, and today, after nearly a decade as a station manager, Ms. Knowles stays on her toes, ready to help when any unexpected event occurs. That's what a customer recently told me in a letter describing how Ms. Knowles sprang, quote, sprang to action when he experienced chest pains and went into medical distress at Metro Center Station. Ms. Knowles was on duty at the station. She called 911, made sure the customer was comfortable, kept a close eye on his condition, and monitored the arrival of the first responders. As the emergency medical workers transported the customer out of the station, Ms. Knowles accompanied him to the ambulance. As he told me in the letter, quote, "Hers was one of the last faces I saw, offering me her best wishes before I was placed into the ambulance. Thankfully, our customer has a fully recovered and his condition can be treated effectively. But at the time of the incident, Ms. Knowles took his calls for help seriously and showed incredible compassion for his well-being. I applaud her for doing what was right to help our customers and demonstrating the gold standard service that I hope all Metro employees strive to deliver, and I know they do strive to deliver. Ms. Knowles, please join me in the middle. Thank you.
Okay, we will now open it up for public comments. Our first speaker is Michael Bell. If you can make your way to the podium, please. Michael Bell. Going once. Okay, we'll move on to Emily Blatter. Hope I pronounced that correctly. Welcome to Metro.
Good morning, and thank you for taking the time to speak with me today. My objection is to the squirt.org ads that the Metro is currently running in the DuPont Circle, and I wanted to start off with a story. This is from a Caroline, who is, I believe, a customer of the Metro. Yesterday, on the way home from the park with my son, I discovered that the DC Metro is currently promoting inappropriate homosexual hookup ads. The ad was displayed on large canvases in multiple places throughout the DuPont Circle Metro station. The ad immediately caught my eye, and I noticed several other commuters stopped to gawk in disbelief. Not only does the advertised website encourage homosexual hookups and video chats, it also provides an avenue for interested customers to find a, quote, casual sexual encounter in a public place, such as a bar or public restroom. This activity, commonly known as, quote, cruising, invites criminal activity such as indecent exposure and illegal prostitution. The DC Metro should stop subjecting their customers, especially children and adolescents, to morally corrupt, sexually deviant, and inappropriate advertising. The Metro should not allow these sexually explicit ads to be openly displayed while they wrongly enforce a blanket ban against religious sentiments. Thank you. The Metro has indicated that 5 such ads were purchased at 3 stations through August 7th. Metro Public Relations Representative Morgan Dye said that no complaints have been received. However, a petition run by Citizen Go revealed that over 1,500 signatures, the petition received over 1,500 signatures complaining and requesting that the ad not run. Dye also said that the Metro can't regulate the ad content because the First Amendment gives a right to free speech that must not be violated. However, religious ads have been banned through December in response to, I believe, a cartoon of the Prophet Muhammad that was rejected. And so the Metro responded by banning all religious ads regardless of offensiveness or lack thereof. Religious ads are normally morally uplifting and encourage virtue and character, which are the fundamental building blocks of our society. So just in closing, the Metro Authority, is that my time? Okay.
You can wrap up.
Okay. The Metro Authority communicated that the reason they cannot ban the squirt ads is because of freedom of speech, but their own board-determined ad policy doesn't follow the First Amendment regarding religion, politics, and advocacy. How can you explain the inconsistency?
Thank you. Our next speaker will be Will Memfield. Will Memfield. Jason Manchester.
Good morning to the entire board and everyone in attendance. My name is Jason Manchester, and I am a Metro Access user. And I'm actually here to testify about Transport DC, that I wish that the decision for Transport DC to be disseminated can be reconsidered. I did not receive any notice until the day that it was no longer going to be in service through an automated phone call, and then after that I received the letter in the mail. And personally, it has been a great use to myself and to other people that I know, specifically in the National Federation of the Blind. And I just feel as if the manner in which it was done was rather abrupt, and the letter somewhat explained about the cuts and different financial parameters. However, I don't ever remember receiving a letter for the public to come and to make a statement or a comment in reference to this vital service that many seniors use. And I attend the Catholic University, and I know that going in the evening, Transport DC was very, very useful for me because I've been, I've had to stay on campus for sometimes up to 2 hours waiting for the Metro Access van. So that is basically my point today. Can that be reconsidered, and is there just another meeting or something that can be done to see how it can be restored or extended in full for the residents of the District of Columbia, including myself?
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Our next speaker will be Robert Wayfield. Warfield, I apologize.
It's Whitfield.
Whitfield, I apologize.
Good morning, Amada Board. I'm Rob Whitfield, and I did take the train in from East Falls Church, and despite a 20-minute wait, made it here in 1 hour from East Falls Church. Good news is the operator was very courteous and encouraged people to take the train behind because they're doing 3 or 4 trains in each direction, and so that's why we had to wait. Unfortunately, most people didn't heed his advice, but I got off in Roslyn because I didn't want to be in the tunnel in a 180 car packed train. And then I got to Metro Center. The good news is there's a Series 7000 train came. The bad news is they said watch the doors once, and I was halfway in and the door slammed my shoulder. And so I have suggested to Mr. Wiedefeld that at Metro Center and Gallery Place that they've got to have at least 2 warnings, because those platforms can be crowded at times, to make sure people can get on the train properly. Most of my comments have to do with the Dulles Rail Project. There are several major issues unresolved for several years, and I've dealt mainly with MWAR. One has to do with the purchase price of the rail cars, for which MWAR is paying $2.95 million per car, and WMATA is only paying about $2 million. I'm told this has to do with research and development costs, and the negotiations are being ongoing. That's been going on for well over a year. It's time to resolve this matter. The other major issue is the fact that the Series 7000 car trains are not operating at all in Virginia. I was pleased to hear from Mr. Wiedefeld that he says as many as 140 Series 7000 train cars are now being delivered. The bad news is they're not operating in Virginia. So we need action, because we, the Dulles Toll Road users, pay towards the cost of 128 of those cars, yet it's 2 years since the Silver Line started, but no Series 7000 are operating there. So that has to be resolved. I realize there are 8 car trains. The other issue is the Dulles Maintenance Yard, for which WMATA has claimed that it doesn't have to pay. And the reality is that that's a $250-300 million project, which will benefit WMATA as well as the rest of the system, as well as the Silver Line.
Can you wrap up, sir?
Thank you. So please, if you need somebody to talk to on the staff, I'll be glad to follow up with whoever is deemed appropriate on the staff. Thank you.
Will I have the report by the Accessibility Advisor? I'm sorry, we're moving on with the agenda. We'll not have the report by Accessibility Advisory Committee, Mr. Sheehan.
Good morning, board members.
Good morning.
And attendees. My name is Denise Rush, and I am the first vice chair for the AAC committee. Our chair, Patrick Sheehan, is sorry that he cannot attend today, so I will be giving the report. My disability does not allow me to use Braille, so I'm asking for your patience and understanding on my memory of what we would like to report today. The AAC turned in a report, and we touched on some of our accomplishments for the last year. And some of those items that we highlighted were the accessibility ride program. We have given our recommendations and we want to have sustainability to be able to move forward. And I know that WMATA and the board are working toward the same issues and concerns that we had. And we hope that our recommendations are considered, and we look forward to getting the end result of the accessibility ride program. Also, at the June meeting, Tom Bolger, committee member, asked for a report on the lighting. And on our July meeting, the lighting report was given, and I hope that it answers any of his concerns and questions. But if it doesn't, I'm sure he will get back to the AAC. I also want to thank Carol Carmen for attending the AAC meeting in July. She's a new member to the board. Thank you for taking out time to see what the issues and concerns of the board are and your time. We hope that additional members come to attend the AAC meeting or the subcommittee meetings to see what our concerns are concerning the disabled community. On Tuesday, July 26th, it was the 26th year anniversary of the ADA, and I want to thank board members and WMATA for continuing to remember the handicapped community when they set up programs and have changes and are concerned with our issue. And we look forward to working with all of you the next year coming up. Also, we have one member, I think, that will be elected to the committee today. I understand we're going to vote in another person. So then the board will be completed and we can move forward with making sure that all the service, all forms of transportation, metro bus service, and metro access is accessible for everyone. The committee will be revisiting the service that has the pilot program for Virginia being extended, but the service in PG County is being cut. We hope we can resolve that and make it a little more evenly divided with the service. Thank you for your time. And do you have any questions?
Same question, Richard? No? Oh, yes, Mr. Bolger.
Thank you for the report. I'm looking at the report on our iPad. I don't see the lighting issue that I keep asking about. Is it in the report or is it coming to us?
No, we had a separate presentation and you didn't receive it.
I just can't find it if I did, but I'll keep looking.
I think it's in our correspondence, maybe.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Catherine.
Yes. Yes.
No. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. We will now have the report from the Riders Advisory Council, Ms. Hermanson.
Good morning, all.
Morning.
My July report should be in your packet. It is in your packet, but I'll just mention a few things from that and a couple of things from late June, because it's been since early June since I talked to you last. With the new chairman of the board and with a new GM in recent months, we've been very fortunate to have some wonderful speakers come to our RAC meetings. And this month, we had the good fortune of having Mr. Lavin, the new chief safety officer, come to share his perspective and let us ask some questions of him. He had a lot of philosophies that we were really appreciative of, but it seemed like his experience is incredible, and his point of view of what he is here to do is something that's very exciting for us. He shared a lot of his ideas about close collaboration with the operational staff, about having a dedicated accident investigation team, things that I'm sure you on the board have already heard about as well. I think especially getting to the root cause of issues, that's something we've talked about a bit, how important that is. And the value of going outside the city to see what he can bring to the table for safety. So we're really excited about his presence. At that same July 6th meeting, we were also happy to welcome Carol Carmody. She also, as she did with the AAC, she's came to our RAC meeting, and she's the first board member other than the chairs to accept Mr. Evans' invitation to attend one of our meetings. And I know next month the board doesn't meet in August, and so if any of you get really lonely, we are having a RAC meeting on August 3rd. That's next Wednesday night, right over here next door at 6:30. So if any of you'd like to come and talk to us, and you can just listen or you can share your ideas, we'd love to have you. We've had our monthly meetings have been primarily a lot of great guest speakers this year. So most of the work toward our work plan for 2016 has fallen to our committee level. And our budget committee just this month was educated by Mark Schofield and Sean Cannon on how and when the RAC can contribute to the fiscal 2018 budget. We'll be discussing our ideas within the RAC at our meeting next week, and then working toward finalizing what the RAC would recommend, the ideas that we'd like to see considered so that we can share them in September with the board and with others. Our customer service team has spent some time considering the safe track planning. We planning and the communications, and especially the experiences of riders. I think there's no shortage of information on this, so we don't have a lot that we can add. I mean, certainly we all know there have been a few issues on the first day or two or certain days with some of the safe track surges, but I have personally heard many reports about how well it's gone and how there are people staffing the stations in great numbers in order to help the people and tell them which track to get on and so forth. I also have heard a lot personally from, I have ties to both Alexandria and Fairfax County, and what they have done to embrace this safe track has been amazing to me, and all of the communications and the options and the information they've sent to me. And I've just really been impressed with what all of the jurisdictions I've heard about have done to support this important work that's being done. And that's a credit not only to them, but of course to the people here that shared the information at the right time so it could happen. We have what we call our PPP committee, which is Program Projects and Planning. They've been working on with the AAC to develop a survey for Amplify to send out about the 7000 series. So that's still in the works. And they're also, after the last executive board meeting, we talked about a social media plan for the RAC, and we are still working on that. It'll be coming in front of the full RAC next week. We do have a new safety committee. It's taken over all of our safety initiatives. And our committee chair, who has a decent safety background of her own, worked with WMATA's Office of Emergency Management on planning and participation, and then giving feedback to the drill in June, the emergency exercise. And she'll be doing the same for the August drill over the Potomac. As the RAC chair this year in particular, I've been very fortunate to be invited to some special events, some hosted by WMATA for the public, some hosted by external groups. Between the Metro at 40 Forum, where I got to hear from executives for a lot of transit systems, to hearing about and observing the new partnership with USA9. We would love to participate in that. We're looking forward to a chance to do that as time goes forward. I have personally, and another member, at least one other member of the RAC, has signed up and been trained for the MVP program, the Metro Volunteer Program. And I had my first stint last Friday at Gallery Place, you know, working with tourists and other irregular riders who needed help at the fare machines. And I got a wealth of experience in those 3 hours. We're really looking forward to having this direct contact with the customers at the key transfer stations. And so we know there'll be a lot of insight that will help us with that. I'm also looking forward to seeing all the results from the contest from Greater Washington, and I look forward to seeing all those ideas that are coming forward. That's it for me. Any questions?
Any questions? No? Thank you for your report.
Don't forget, next Wednesday night. <You're> right here.
We will now have the report from the chair. And I would just like to welcome everyone to Metro. We have several items on the agenda, so I will keep my remarks brief. I would like to take this opportunity to thank our riders for their continued patience and resilience during the 5 safe track surges that have taken place since the beginning of June. Our riders have heeded warnings about the possibility for severe crowding and have found alternate routes or shifted their schedules, which has allowed Metro to accommodate the remaining riders on its shuttles or on Metro at reduced frequencies. I would also like to thank our jurisdictional partners for all their assistance with outreach and with providing transportation alternatives. Finally, I would like to extend a special thanks to my colleagues on the board who have been assisting in the outreach for the safe track surges. Next, I would like to move the approval of the resolution appointing a member to the Accessibility Advisory Committee, or AAC. One of the board's key responsibilities is to work with the AAC as this group addresses our riders' issues and concerns and provides us with their feedback from their unique perspectives. I move to appoint the following individual to the AAC to replace the member who has stepped down, and that will be Larry Hale from the state of Maryland, my great state. If I could get a second, and all those who approve, voice their signification by saying aye. Any noes? The ayes have it. Thank you. This concludes my remarks. I would now like to turn over the floor to Mr. Wheatfield.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What I'll do is give my briefing on my 3 priorities, both safety, service reliability, and financial management. I'll start with safety. Safe track update, Surge 6 does begin Monday for seven days. That is on the red line. It will be the first time that any of these efforts have impacted the red line users. The work will require single tracking between Silver Spring and Tacoma, but will impact the entire red line because of the way the operations work. There will be reduced service in the entire line, but most significantly on the eastern portion of it. So the message to the commuters, as we've been articulating, and the board members helped me articulate, which is basically if there's any other alternative that you have, please use it, whether it's telecommuting, changing your work schedule, using ride-on bus service in this case, a Metro bus, taking the MARC service on the Brunswick line, carpool, et cetera. Anything that people can do to lighten the pressure, particularly during the peak period. In Surge 6, we're looking to replace more than 800 cross ties on the above ground track between Silver Spring and Tacoma. To give you a sense of perspective, that's the equivalent of 160 nights it would take us to do that if we were just to do it during the normal procedure that we've been following over the last few years. I want to take this opportunity also to thank the workers for everything they've been doing under some very stressful conditions. Obviously, the physical work that the men and women do out there, but particularly in this hot and humid weather, and working 12-hour shifts is no picnic for them. If anyone wants to follow, we do put progress reports on each surge as we complete them online that you can find and just continue to monitor what we do. In talking about Safe Track, though, one thing I constantly get asked is, after Safe Track, are we done? And clearly the answer is no. Okay.
Sure.
Is that better? I'll speak up. Basically, one of the things I keep hearing everywhere I go is they have to save track, are we done? And again, I just want to make sure that we're all clear that it is not done when we finish this, meaning the maintenance of the work has to continue. It's an ongoing basis after it ends, and we need adequate track time is absolutely required to maintain the rehabilitated tracks that we're doing right now in the signals, to mitigate water intrusion, to maintain lighting, fans and other life safety systems, to test and inspect the infrastructure, and also to conduct training and emergency preparedness activities, all of which occur and require outage of track service. As part of the customer accountability report that I released in March, we committed to a top-to-bottom review of the current track maintenance program. After considering recommendations from third-party experts, peer reviews, consultants we brought in to look at this, we learned a few things. First and foremost is that SafeTrack was the right approach. It accelerated the program. An accelerated program was needed to eliminate the backlog in track maintenance. Second, we need longer windows of time, track time, to continue the work, to maintain the system and keep it safe. We do not want to slide backwards into where we're trying to dig out of right now, what we've been trying to do for the last 6 months, 5 months. This is not a new issue. You know, this has been around for decades, been talked about for decades. It is subject to several of the recommendations from the FTA, and in fact, in the May 16th letter, the safety directive to us, and I quote, increased demands for passenger service have shrunk maintenance windows during evening, weekends, and late nights, resulting in thousands of backlog work orders. The benefit of having unfettered access cannot be overstated. That's why we'll present to the board this fall a plan for gathering public opinion and feedback on a proposal to close the system at midnight Monday through Saturday and on Sundays at 10 p.m. There will be ample time for public input and mitigation ideas as we communicate fully with the region through our public participation plan in the fall. But I do want to be clear that we must prioritize safety over of the other riding public and our employees. While we recognize that there are customers who depend on Metro late night rail service to get to work and enjoy late night activities in restaurants and clubs, those numbers have decreased significantly over the last few years. In fact, Sunday night ridership after 10 p.m. is down 43% since 2011 to an average of 4,000 riders an hour during those 2 hours. Historically, on Friday and Saturday nights, Metro was keeping the 118-mile rail system with 91 stations and hundreds of operating staff working to move fewer than 3,000 trips per hour after midnight. To give businesses and workers time to plan and prepare for the change, we have to begin now to have this discussion on reconciling the unsustainable competition between service and maintenance needs that we have. Well, my second priority in terms of service reliability, a few things are going on in that area. Yesterday, we launched a new online feature called My Trip Time, and this allows customers to track their personal on-time score for rail trips made in the past 90 days. The customer's on-time score is calculated by comparing actual time, travel times, when they tap in and tap out with their smart cards, to the amount of time that the trip should take when the service is running normally. We frequently hear from here that the system-wide on-time performance measures doesn't resonate with customers because it averages service across all operating hours in all stations. Customers are right. They deserve to know more about their actual service time, the time it takes them to go through the system. Internally, we'll use this data to assess impacts on the customers of initiatives that we try and to improve the overall service. Riders who have registered smart cards can now access My Trip Time feature by logging on to their accounts at vomata.com/smarttrip. Moving on to my third priority in terms of the financial house and accountability. a few things. As also through the customer accountability report, we did discuss the desire to sell this property and move into a different headquarters. We are proceeding with that. We have, as you know, this building is very old and will require an estimated $75 to $90 million to bring it up to standard. We have enlisted a commercial real estate advisory firm to conduct a valuation of the Metro property. It's an excellent downtown location near Verizon Center and obviously near several Metro stations. It has one full block of development potential. The valuation of the headquarters building is between $56 million and $132 million, depending upon the zoning that is allowed. To optimize the value, we will be seeking to rezone to allow the high-density commercial development, which is consistent with the District's Columbia Comprehensive Plan. So we will be doing that over the next several months as we continue that initiative. Another initiative that we are doing is the Select Pass sales that you're aware of. It was a pilot program we kicked off in March. It offers the riders an unlimited monthly pass, and the price is based on the customer's travel pattern. It's been very successful and received very well. We've sold 8,500 of these passes to date. It clearly offers the customers the amenities they want, which is basically convenience. The feedback from the customer surveys we've had has been overwhelming. Positive, including notes that say it's a great value and super easy to use. We're moving this month into phase two of the pilot program. I'm sorry, in August, we'll be moving into phase two of the pilot program, which will allow additional price, peak period price points to be included into that program. And then finally, I'd like to recognize the progress we made on our financial department and our Office of Controller. This month, I was notified of recognition from the Government Finance Officers Association, which is a international between the United States and Canada, over 18,000 members. And Metro received a certification of achievement for excellence in financial reporting for our fiscal year 2015 annual financial report. This is the highest form of recognition in government accounting and financial reporting, and this is the standard that we're holding ourselves to now and into the future. So with that completes my comments.
Thank you. What a wonderful achievement. That should be applauded. I will now turn the floor over to Mr. Golden for the report by the Finance Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, I'm sorry. Mr. Corcoran has a question, Mr. Wiedefeld.
Thank you. Paul, on the pilot program with the one pass, I think you said 8,500 riders, has there been an analysis as to what that did to the revenue from for those riders, either save them money or cost the system money?
Yeah, we're compiling that now. So basically, as we wrap, you know, we're roughly 3 months into this. So we want to get a little bit more data, and then we'll bring it to the board.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay. Mr. Goldman?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The following two actions were referred to the board at the June 9 meeting of the Finance Committee. Regarding the DC Kids Ride Free program, staff is seeking board authorization for the general manager to negotiate and execute changes to the student subsidy agreement between WMATA and the District of Columbia, including a fixed price per student per day for unlimited bus and rail travel and the elimination of time restrictions on bus travel. These are for the 2016-2017 school year. I move approval.
Second.
Second.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes.
Thank you. Second, there's the pilot Metro bus service to National Harbor. Staff is seeking board authorization to establish a reimbursable operating project for fiscal year 2017 to support the implementation of pilot bus service, the NH2 route between the Virginia Metro Rail stations in Alexandria and Fairfax County and National Harbor, Maryland, across the Woodrow Wilson Bridge. I move approval.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion passes. Thank you, Mr. Goldman. And now for the report from the Capital Program Planning and Real Estate Committee. Mr. Strickland is unable to be with us today, so I ask Mr. Costa, the committee's vice chair, to deliver the report. Mr. Costa?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, everyone. Following actions were referred to the board at the June 9th, 2016 meeting of the Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee. First, approval of compact public hearing and joint development agreement for Capitol Heights Station. Staff seeks approval to hold a public hearing regarding proposed development at the Capitol Heights Station, including proposed changes to parking, and approval to negotiate and execute a joint development agreement with Donatelli Development for the project. Can I get a motion for approval?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I thought we had deleted this item from the agenda.
This is Capitol.
No, we deleted the first item, yes. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes. Mr. Costa?
Second item, authorization to negotiate and execute a term sheet for development at College Park. Staff seeks authorization to negotiate and execute a term sheet for development on a portion of Metro's land at the College Park University of Maryland Station. Any motion?
Second. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you. Third item, approval of Greenbelt Joint Development Public Hearing Staff Report. Staff seeks approval of the public hearing staff report on proposed changes to the transit facilities at the Greenbelt station, along with the implementation of a non-rider parking fee. I get a motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion passes.
Thank you. Last item, the following action was referred to the board at the July 14th, 2016 meeting of the Planning Program Development and Real Estate Committee. Approval of a public hearing for proposed improvements to King Street Old Town Bus Loop. Staff seeks authorization to hold a public hearing along with associated public outreach initiatives on proposed changes to the bus loop and kiss and ride configuration at the King Street Old Town Station. This is a reimbursable project funded by the City of Alexandria. Get a motion?
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you very much. That's it for me.
Thank you, Mr. Costa. And now we will move to the report for the Customer Service Operations and Security Committee from Mrs. Hutchins.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, the Customer Service and Service Operations and Security Committee received the report from the 2016 Bus Service State of Good Repair on July 14th meeting and recommended approval. I'd move approval of the hold a public hearing on the Metro bus service changes to improve service effectiveness and customer satisfaction without increasing expenses or subsidies.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. And now we have our consent item remaining on the agenda. Can I get a motion to approve this item, the authorization to negotiate and execute agreement with the Virginia Department of Rail and Public Transportation for PREA funding? Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. Now we will move to reports. We'll have a report from DC. Mr. Evans is not here. Mr. No report. WSDC, I don't have anything.
And Madam Chair,
yes.
Could I add something?
Yes.
As it has been noted, the first surge, SafeTrack surge on the Red Line will begin on Monday, August 1st, and it will affect the entire eastern part of the Red Line. And in addition to the information that is on the website for WMATA, there's also information on the Montgomery County DOT site for additional options people would take. And I would, since it's affecting the entire eastern part of the Red Line, I would second Mr. Wiedefeld's comments about people finding another way to get around for that week of starting on August 1st. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Porter. From NVTC, Mr. Corcoran.
On behalf of the Virginia correspondents, I'd like to send congratulations to a regular rider of the Metro system, Senator Tim Kaine, on accepting the nomination to the Vice Presidency of the United States. Having a regular rider of Metro in that position could be beneficial. Do not consider this an endorsement, but just a recognition. Right, he is a nominee, though. So congratulations to him. And NVTC and the Virginia State delegation has had a lot of conversation about the new compact for the Safety Committee, and very interested in seeing that move through the General Assembly come the January to March time period of 2017. And appreciate the Washington City Council, or the Washington, D.C. City Council, for moving and introducing that legislation. Thank you.
Thank you. At this moment in time, the meeting will be adjourned. Thank you, and have a great, yes? I'm sorry, any report from the feds?
Members?
No one? Ms. Carmody. Carmody.
Thank you. We did have an email from Carolyn Flowers, who's the administrator, saying that the D.C. legislation submitted by Mayor Bowser on safety oversight met the federal requirements for such legislation. It would have to be passed by the other jurisdictions, but it was acceptable. And second, she also commended the work done by WMATA with FTA. Thought it was outstanding.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Meeting is adjourned.